This is a very special service for us, kind of a sad service. God has blessed our church with Jennifer Weeb, our children's pastor. She's been with us for a little over 4 years, and we have loved Jen and the spiritual vitality that she has brought to our team, to our church, the kind of model that she has been for our children. The evangelistic zeal that she has embodied for children in our community that don't know Christ. We will hear some of these things about Jen as we move into this part of the service. So, boys and girls, this is really an important day. When we come and worship together in church like this, there's all kinds of emotions that we are allowed to feel. And one of the emotions today is going to be sadness, because we're saying goodbye to somebody that we love. The other is gratitude, saying thank you to Jen and her family. And also thank you to God for giving us Jen for 4 years. The other emotion is one of hope and longing and faith, because we're going to be praying that God will bring us another children's pastor. So there's lots of feelings that we have, and the Lord loves it when we're honest about expressing our feelings to Him. So that's what we're going to do as we celebrate the second week of Advent, which is all about the fact that Jesus has come the first time, and it's changed the world for the good, but He's coming a second time when He makes everything right. And so we're in the middle. We're in between. That's what Advent's all about, living faithfully in the in-between.
VBS and Sunday School, teaching kids the golden rule, making the Bible so much fun, introducing them to the three-in-one, so much energy to spare, letting the kids know you care, teaching them about God and the devil, getting right down to their level. The love of God shows through your ways as you teach them songs of praise. All the kids know you care, that you lift them up in prayer. I know your parting will leave a hole, but you've modeled for them a role of what a Christian really is. They know that you're a child of His. As you follow God's plan for you, I know that you will bless others too. Their sunny smile and loving care will draw others everywhere. We've been blessed for 4 years to have you as one of our peers. May God bless you as you depart, beginning with a brand new start. God is opening doors for you, giving the courage to walk through. The time you spent here was lots of fun. I know we say with God, well done. There are good things for you in store. So now go now, Jen, and bless many more.
Yeah, well done.
Okay, so Pastor Jen, as I was thinking about what I wanted to say, at first I thought I'd list all the differences that I've observed that you've made to all the teachers and leaders, the moms, the dads, the grandparents and caregivers, and all those whom you have touched to make sure that you know how much God has used you. But something in me says that you already noted these dear loved ones because you've prayed so purposely and pointedly for them. You've met our kids where they are at on Sunday morning, whether it's a kiddo enthusiastically participating in all aspects of your interactive kids service, or a leader type, as you graciously identified a few kiddos who danced to a different beat. You've made Sunday morning accessible to both. My mama's heart and so many others wept at the relief of knowing that someone else didn't have all these expectations heaped on our little ones, but instead God's grace and love and patience made accessible to our children, releasing them, offering them acceptance that is so desperately needed. It has been a relief, an eye-opener, and this vision, it's contagious. Your posture of leading is inspirational, and I consider a true leader to be someone that I've noted that is someone who recognizes and draws out and encourages the natural and spiritual gifts of others. You do that. As our leader, you humbly seek to be a vessel pointing others to Jesus. And I remember thinking this, of this humble way of yours very clearly when we were having a conversation. And in your typical way, you were like sharing some necessary information while encouraging me. But you were doing it all from the floor. You were just sprawled out on the floor. Jen, serving with you has been fun, rewarding, and healthy. I believe through our love for Jesus, we all have a shared vision. In your wisdom, you gave volunteers freedom to be able to run with their passion, to do each of the assigned tasks, but under good counsel and with clear boundaries. You decline praise for what you've done, and you're so quick to give God the glory, which is commendable and humble, although I hope you receive our edifying words as we send you off as a church. I've heard you joke about your administrative skills. Keep in mind that just because your passion is not to pack away in front of a computer, inputting information and all sorts of stuff like that, doesn't mean you're bad at it. You're actually pretty good, and you're just so exceptional at everything else that when you do something average, you think it's like subpar or something. Thank you, Jen, for pastoring my kids and me. I thank God for equipping you with the talents, skills, and passion. And I'm thankful for your family, since they have clearly contributed so much for you to be the beautiful, wonderful woman that you are and the pastor that we benefited from. So we release you and bless you for this next stage in your ministry. May our God, our Father, heap wisdom and energy on you and your family in his gracious and loving way. And may the Holy Spirit guide and lead you and be your constant as you navigate new waters. And may Jesus be your connection, your go-to, your story, your passion, as you personally continue to grow in the faith. And may our God be glorified in all you do as he already has been. And I'll miss you, friend.
My name is Jenna Friesen, and today I want to tell you about my children's pastor, Jen. We have had many great times over the years, and I would like to tell you a few of them. My favorite memory is when I went to the Chris Tomlin concert, Love Ran Red, in Abbotsford. I had a great time. During the concert, I remembered that Pastor Jen had told me she was going to the concert too. After the concert, me and her had lots of fun texting about the concert. Some things we were asking was, what was your favorite song? Did you enjoy God's Great Dance Floor? And other things like that. It was so special that she wanted to hear about how much fun I had. That is a memory I will never forget. We've had lots of fun together at VBS. Pastor Jen always has lots of enthusiasm and excitement for our activities. She always has crazy hair and cute PJs on pajama day. I'm always so excited and love to chat when I see her around at the different stations. This fall, I received a letter in the mail from Pastor Jen. She encouraged me and had lots of words of enthusiasm plus lots of fun stickers. I enjoy how she's always willing to pray with me about anything. She's been very encouraging the 5 years I have known her, and it's great that she encourages other children too. Pastor Jen, we will never forget you. I and all the other children have grown to love you so much. When I heard you were leaving, I started to cry, but then I realized God knew what was best for you in this church. We will be praying for you and your new church, and we know they will come to love you just as much as we love you here. A verse I would like to share with you is Psalms 91, verse 11. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways.
I first met Jennifer over 4 years ago when she was trying to recruit helpers for the VBS program. Reminded me of a voice crying in the wilderness. I had once attended VBS as a child, and I had happy memories of it, so I decided to volunteer just this once and take on a group of 9 to 10-year-olds. Little did I know this would contribute to a life-altering step for me. I also volunteered to help with the VBS barbecue. Little did I know the change this decision would also have in that my life. It was at this barbecue that I got to work with Gloria Fraser and quickly formed a friendship that grew into an involvement in Monday Night Cafe. So Jennifer, either directly or indirectly, you were responsible for my involvement in the kitchen. And for this, I am personally grateful. If you've ever been around Jennifer, you cannot help to see your passion for kids. There are many hours of preparation needed to put a VBS together, and Jennifer's time consumed many of these hours. I have seen her agonize over the number of kids that ended up on the waiting list for VBS as the result of not being able to afford the cost of the VBS tuition or by there not being enough workers. Most of all, if not all of these kids on the waiting list were not children from our church families, but were the result of contacts being made through the Hamper program and were kids from non-church families. The first year of VBS, there were some that were left as a result of a lack of team leaders or because of finances. In recent years, there has been nobody left behind as team leaders have stepped up to fill the gap and sponsorships were made available to help out those who could not afford the tuition. This is due in a large part to Jennifer's contagious enthusiasm and dedication to this program. Jennifer just seems to light the passions of those around her in regards to caring for children. This last year's VBS resulted in decisions for Christ being made by some of these kids that were not from our church families, but were the result of the hamper program and sponsorships being made available to those who could not afford the tuition. If you've ever tried to get Jennifer's attention or interrupt her when she's talking to kids, forget it. Her attention is focused on the children. Kids come first. The rest of us have to wait. It is amazing to watch the kids gravitate to her and eager to say their memory verses for her. The smile that I see on her face is much like that I would imagine the children saw on the face of Jesus when he said, "Suffer the children to come unto me." I do know that in the past few years, Jennifer has been concerned about the time she spends away from her family at home. Her heart, as I see it, is for God first, then her family, and then the families directly around her where she lives. Matthew and Claire do need to see more of their mother, and I'll bet Travis would not mind seeing more of her also. Jennifer, we're going to miss you. I personally am going to miss your bright, shining face and the many conversations we have had in your office working on VBS plans. I know that God has more work for you to do, and I bless you in your new position of leadership in growing God's kingdom. Thank you so much.
Okay. Boy, that was just beautiful, you guys. Thank you. I'd like to ask the staff to come forward, the whole staff. And we can't have every single adult on the platform who's involved in kids ministry, because that would be about 80 adults. As you know, the kids ministry requires more volunteer help than any ministry in the church. But I would like the CMLT members, if you are here, would you come forward? And we're going to extend some love to Jen and her family. We're going to give her a gift right now and then pray for her as a church. So Jen and family, would you all come up here, please?
The tributes were beautiful. And they weren't exaggerated. They were genuine. Jennifer, you've had an amazing impact on us as a team here at Pacific, but also on this church. And it's very difficult to know how to mark such an occasion. So we commissioned, well, we didn't commission an artist from amongst us, but Katina is one of our grand artists, and we just wanted to give you this gift by which to remember your time here and for it to mark a time that God has granted you here in this place. Thank you, Jennifer. Thank you, family. And may you be blessed. Would you like to pray?
Let's stand together. And why don't you, just if you feel comfortable doing this, extend a hand of blessing. Jen, look at all these hands. This is hundreds and hundreds of hugs, of love that's being expressed to you and to your family. So, Lord, our lives have been greatly touched by Jennifer, by the integrity of her life, by her gift of shepherding and prophecy, from her apostolic spirit that demands that we look outside the walls of this church to the lives of kids and families that don't know you. And what she has been here, we now as a church say thank you for and also receive. We don't want to lose the gift, though we will lose Jennifer. And we pray for Jen and Travis and Claire and Matt as they now make their way from us and build new relationships with a new community. And we pray for fast friendships to be made, that all four would feel the love of the body of Christ there in Abbotsford. And we pray that all of Jennifer's gifts and perhaps others that have been lying dormant, that have not been used here would be released with great power and a special anointing for this new chapter in her life. So, Lord, today as a church, we just say thank you, Jesus, for giving us Jennifer. And we release her now in the spirit of the church that released Paul and Barnabas to a new work that you were calling them to. So thank you, Lord, and thank you, Jennifer. Bless you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, amen.
Thank you. I'm almost speechless. And to think I thought I might not cry today. I'm truly blessed by you. And something this morning that came to me when I was praying is when I entered here 4.5 years ago, I didn't really know what I was stepping into, and I was a bit nervous. And you have loved me so well, children, adults, everyone. Thank you for loving me and being patient with me when I wasn't patient with myself. And you really are a gifted church. And one of the words that came to me this morning is God's story. Just how he has a story for PCC that started far before I ever came. And I have been so privileged to be a part of this story for a short season, a small piece of this story, but I am so grateful that God's story is not done here. And I'm so grateful for the many people that are here that are living out that story. And as Pastor Brian was praying, just that you have such a privilege here. I sat in my office, and there are non-believers across from the office every day I walk in. Non-believers flood into this church. The Hamper program, the Monday Night Cafe. I mean, there's almost as many non-believers that enter this church as believers. And it's just an incredible calling and privilege that you have at this church to share Christ with them. So thank you for serving him well and for serving me well. I love you.
Good morning. That's good. Good morning. Good. Second week of Advent, we read one of the most beautiful passages out of Isaiah, a prophet out of the Old Testament, looking forward to the days of redemption that was to come, when comfort, in fact, would be fully experienced, all sins wiped away, relationship with God fully restored. We long for the same thing. We see it in part, but we don't yet experience it in full. And this is what Peter the Apostle was speaking of in chapter 3 of his letter. And he has this one verse right in the midst of this chapter where he's ministering to the very concerns of this young Christian community who were being mocked and laughed at. Because people were saying, when is Jesus, you know, we know Jesus came as you described, but you say he's coming back. When is he coming back? You guys believe in a myth. Look at the world. Still much the same. But Peter speaks right into that. And he has this one verse in verse 13 of chapter 3. But in keeping with his promise, people of God, we are looking forward. We are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. This text is all about waiting. Advent is about us waiting. Of the many different Advent texts that we could have read, Psalm 85, you know, the time when John the Baptist is proclaiming even the same words out of Isaiah, there is one yet to come, make straight the highways. They're all words of waiting, waiting for the full reconciliation of God and man. Or as John in Revelations puts it, where every tear is wiped away, where there is no more death, where there is no more crying, where there is no more pain, the old is finally passed away and the new has come. we wait. We wait. I mean, Advent is two things, really. It's the celebration of what God has accomplished and what God is yet to accomplish. And putting those two things are important because we know that God is faithful to do what he desires to do and will also accomplish what he yet promises to do. But I don't know about you, but waiting is not my favorite thing. Waiting in our got-to-be-busy kind of world feels so out of place. I don't know. Do you enjoy waiting in a doctor's office? Do you enjoy waiting in the traffic jams of Highway 1? I know, Jen is going to be so happy not to endure them from Abbotsford any longer. Don't you get annoyed when you're smartphone doesn't download fast enough? We just don't like waiting. That's probably why most people don't like attending, you know, traditional churches, because why? They seem so slow. It's just at a different pace, and today we have services that are quick-paced, peppy music, no space in between for quiet. It's just, let's get her done, and let's go home, and let's do what needs to be done. We don't like waiting. And strange is it not that one of the most traditional and Christian spiritual practices is what? Solitude. Waiting. Waiting is what Christians should be doing well. Longing for all that God promises to accomplish. My hunch is we need to learn how to wait. And Advent presents us an opportunity to learn. And waiting is hard. I mean, God does not seem to be a very rushed person. He wouldn't be hired by FedEx to do deliveries, let's put it that way. His resume doesn't work for FedEx. God takes his time. As we can see throughout all the scripture, God just waits. And faithful people, as we learn about them throughout scripture, are people who know how to wait upon God and set their pace according to God's pace. And even now for us, after all the events of the incarnation that we celebrate in this season, it's been 2,000 years hence. Where we've experienced all that God did at that time, we experienced some of the unfolding of that, but we still are looking forward to more. And when you take a look at the whole biblical story, it's really a story of waiting. Psalm 85. I mean, there's so many psalmists, and many of the psalms that just express this desire to wait, but also the struggle to wait. You know, Psalm 85, will you be angry with us forever, God? When are you going to show up? Will you prolong your anger through all generations? They hunger for God, and they get impatient with God that he's not moving at their pace. Will you not revive us again? Show us your unfailing love, Lord. Grant us your salvation. I think those who believe in God know that they need to wait, but in their waiting, they are able to press God. They hunger for something. I think that's what solitude and waiting can do. It helps us understand our deep longings. In verse 10 of Psalm 85, it describes this about the longing of the psalmist. It goes like this. where love and faithfulness meet together, righteousness and peace. Let me get back here. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. When the psalmist in 85 described his deep longing, he framed this verse that always stuns me when I come across it and even confounds me to a degree. But he desires a time when love, which I think is a way of describing God, and faithfulness, which describes who we are, meet together. And then righteousness, which is God, and peace, which is us who experience all of God's good blessings, finally kiss each other. That the real longing of those who are faithful is this time when all of God in heaven connects intimately with his world and the people he have created in this intimate embrace. That's the longing. This is what the psalmist would describe as salvation, when all is made right. That's what I long for. We're in the midst of the book of Hebrews, and the author there recounts how people of faith were a people who waited. All these people, he says, people like Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, and others, he says of them, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. And people who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. They were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. A heavenly one where God and humanity are finally united together. Advent is a time to celebrate the gospel. And last week, Brian unpacked a little bit about the gospel story amongst us. Does anybody remember some of the stuff that we learned last week? Brian unpacked it, because when you unpack this story, really it describes the need for us to wait and how we can wait. Right, let me get this first image. Does anybody remember what this image, this arrow down, stands for? Creation. Good job. What's the next one? Rebellion. That's right. What's the next one? Oh, there you go. It's an arrow. What's promise? What's the next one? Redemption. Next. Which is this one? Church. And restoration. Well, let's use these just to describe the gospel of waiting here. I mean, when you look at creation, that story of creation, we know that God did something when, out of his love, out of his presence, he took what was chaotic, empty and void, and he made something out of it. It's almost like all this chaos was desiring God's hand in it. And then God takes all of that. The Spirit broods over it. And out of 6 days, his whole creation is made. And at the apex of it, God creates mankind, who is to be the steward of all creation. And what does God say about all of this? It is good. It is so good. And God lives with Adam and Eve and has this grand relationship. This is where, in fact, the psalmist's words of intimacy, where love and faithfulness connect, because this is where mankind was in genuine relationship with God. Heaven and earth were like together God was with mankind. There was this unity. But fundamentally, Adam and Eve were troubled and for some reason distrusted the words of God. Got led by the temptations of the devil and did what God told them not to. And they ate of the tree. And as a result, we have the rebellion. And here I think what happens is this unity between heaven and earth gets divided. This intimacy is stretched out. And two worlds which are made to really be together in unity are now disunited. God was tempted to destroy everything that he made, but because he loved all that he had made, he saves the world. Noah sends his promises to Abraham and says, I will bless this world. And so despite the loss of faithfulness of mankind, God chooses to be faithful, and he expresses this through many promises and covenants. And there's a people of God who long for God's full redemption. And they finally see it after many centuries of their faithlessness, but God's continual grace. They long for something, and ultimately they find it in Jesus Christ, their redemption. And in redemption, Jesus Christ pours out his love. He demonstrates exactly all that God is about, loving his creation, restoring all things. And Jesus sets the church alight by sending his Spirit. And we live in that age now of the church, where we have been blessed by seeing all that God has accomplished, the power that he pours out upon the church with the Holy Spirit, and the renewal process that is ongoing. But we long for, as Peter says, that day when all things are made right, the day of restoration. Advent retells this whole story over and over again about a people waiting and longing, celebrating, but also hoping. And so Peter says to each of those listening to his letter, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him, because Jesus is coming back. He is making all things new. Perhaps the most compelling Advent illustration is that of Simeon. Simeon was that very elderly gentleman who lived for many, many days looking with hope to the day that the Son of Man would come. And one day, the Spirit said to him, go to the temple. Go to the temple. I mean, he had been waiting long, and he had been trusting the Spirit, and the Spirit said, go to the temple. And on that very day that he went to the temple, Mary and Joseph came bearing their son. And it was very clear to Simeon what God was revealing. And he says, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for I have seen your glory. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel. A man who waited, saw, and lived in peace, looking forward to the final completion of God's restoration of all the world. I think one of the good things that we can do in Advent is to wait. I'm in this opportunity to called spiritual formation or our soul transformation. And one of the exercises we have to do And Brian shared this a number of months ago. But taking 20 minutes in a day to do absolutely nothing but sit in an intentional time with God. No agenda, hands open, everything off, seeking the ministry of God without really maybe expecting anything but for God to do something somehow. And as I practiced this, it's amazing how hard it is to last 20 minutes quietly. Oh, I got to think about this. I got to get a cake for Jen. Oh no, I got to tell Brian about this. Oh, I got to buy a Christmas present for Monica. Oh, I got to put dinner on the table. And all of a sudden all these things are racing because we're so running fast with everything that we think is important, and solitude gives us a way to stop and listen to God and find our place in this grand story. So, my encouragement to you for Advent is to maybe once or twice in a week stop. Find a quiet spot and wait for God. And let Him show His mercy to you and help you change your rhythm and help you begin to long for all that God desires for you, to embrace you, and for you to yearn for the day where righteousness dwells together with peace. Let's pray. Lord, we come into these worship services and our minds are racing. Our hearts are heavy. We think about things behind us, things ahead of us. It's very hard for us to be present right in the moment. And yet we come into a time like this where a table where Jesus has invited His people to come and eat together and experience and encounter all the love of God. All the love of God demonstrated through the sacrificial life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Where He declares to us that we are made right, we are made new, that the longings of our heart to be in full union with You will be made complete, and that You continue to work in a powerful way, not just restoring our lives, but restoring all of creation. And indeed, Lord, we long for all of that. And so I pray, Jesus, as we make our way to this table, will You bless us with Your presence? Remind us of all that You've accomplished and what You yet will accomplish. Renew us, revive us. Continue to create a new spirit in us. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord, as we declare that, we receive all the grace available for what is to come this week while we wait in this Advent season. And ask Your special blessing on the women tonight as they set up and prepare, and upon Kalita as she sings and speaks and shares her heart. Open the hearts of the women, particularly those that haven't met You yet. We agree on all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
For all the youth out there, the youth Christmas banquet is this Thursday, anyone in grade to 12 are welcome to bring a friend. And the cost is $10. Sign up online on the PCC website and bring a random item from home or a $5 item wrapped up for a white elephant gift exchange.